If you will, turn in your Bibles to 3 John. We actually were here last week for just the same verse, but I'm going to elaborate and go off of that because I want to talk to you today about a healthy church. In fact, I was having that conversation earlier this week, and it was already on my mind, but I didn't want to preach to you yesterday because once I get started, it's bad. So, I shared this message, not this exact message, but this concept and the things that are in here 5 years ago in 2016. And I don't mind sharing things again. Some of you weren't here in 2016. Some of you won't remember 2016 after all that we've been through the last few years. It's just hard to go back. Are you aware? This wasn't part of 2016's message. Are you aware that church attendance in America is down? Yeah, that probably isn't surprising to you. And in fact, it's been, going a little bit down. I heard a guy say a while back that the number one affiliation for church in America is none. That's kind of interesting. And especially post-COVID, we've had even more people who used to go to church regularly and now are irregular at best and have, in some cases, stopped altogether. And again, I'm not trying to condemn anybody when I say that. There are a lot of complications in all this, aren't there? I mean, this has not been easy. And I know some churches here in town who have said that they're still not even at 50% of their pre-COVID attendance. That's just here, right here in our little town. So while we've seen the number of people going to church go down, and especially in recent days, do you know that the number of churches has gone up? Yeah, it's true. I mean, there are some churches that have closed, but most churches continue on no matter what. And some of them, I worry about what they have to do to continue on. I remember, and I've told you this before, there was a church in Bicknell, Indiana that the people who attended there called it the Dollar Church. And they called it Dollar Church because somebody had given them a whopping amount of money. And that church has so much money, it will never, ever close. They can pay everything they need to for their bills and everything else they have off the interest, off the ridiculously high amount of money that they have deposited in the bank, which was deposited for them into investments, I guess not necessarily the bank, and they were given specific instructions on never to touch the main part, just to have the rest to operate the church. So sometimes churches can go on indefinitely. Doesn't matter. This dynamic, by the way, of more churches and less people has created a quiet competition amongst churches and sometimes among Christians. And I will say this too, in the midst of that competition, I'm not sure some of the strategies that are employed have always worked to the good of the church or the kingdom or anything else. How many of you think that's... Have you seen some strategies in some churches where what they're doing has little to do with God and more to do with how many people they can get in seats? Yeah, it's kind of iffy, and that's an interesting thing. Now, you may be thinking that this makes the church in America less healthy than it has been in the past. I'm going to mess with you a little bit today. Are you ready? I don't think so. What? Yeah, I don't think the church in the past was necessarily more healthy. Pastor, I just heard what you said. How can it be healthier today than it was in the past? Good question. And in spite of the mistakes that we're making today in some of our churches, or that we may have made, or I think God's church is healthier in many ways than it was when I was a boy. I got saved 50 years ago. Some of you are thinking, come on, man. Oh, wait a minute. I stole that line from somebody. But anyway, you're thinking, that can't be true. Well, for example, I remember street witnessing as a young Jesus freak. I've told this story. I even wrote a song to it. I thought about singing it today, but for time's sake, I will spare you. Besides that, it's kind of old and hokey. But I sang it at the old hokey song down at Lisa's church for the fun of some of the people who remember when I was a young Jesus freak. Lisa's daddy's church, when we went to visit. I went out and I visited a guy, or I was doing some street witnessing, I should say, and I asked a man if he was born again. He had no idea what I was talking about. And I found this happened a lot. And so I said, well, do you know Jesus? And we talked a little bit, and finally he said, well, I go to church every Sunday. He went to church every Sunday. But he didn't know about being born again or a personal relationship with Jesus or any of that stuff. And that happened a lot in the early 70s. When the Jesus movement was happening, people were having experiences with Jesus, and oftentimes it was an experience they could not find in a church. Wow. Now some of you are thinking, well, yeah, I kind of do remember churches like that. Maybe you never belonged to one. The church that I was in, I won't speak ill of it too much, that I got saved in, the pastor who replaced the pastor after the last pastor that I knew there, I had moved on with the Jesus people and had gotten into some charismatic Pentecostal, full gospel, all those weird name things that we do to try to describe other things, and I was involved in other things, and you know, I turned 16, I was able to drive and go to my own church. My parents finally left that church because it became very dead to the point where, you know, no one was experiencing salvation there. Today, you can have a conversation with people that is just the opposite. Back then, you could have a conversation with somebody who went to church all the time and didn't know God. And today, you can have a lot of conversations with people who talk about knowing God and never go to church. Interesting, huh? When you think about it that way. And the idea that church is optional, to me, that's kind of like telling me that you love me, but then saying you'd prefer not to be around my wife. We like you, Pastor Tim. You're just wonderful. But that woman you've got, she's got issues. Yeah, somebody said you got it flipped there. That's probably more true right there. That'll preach. Yeah, come on. Ha! Say amen. Come on. You know, Jesus is preparing a bride. And if you're avoiding her, I'm wondering why he would invite you to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Wow, that was really a quiet reaction. Because you know, when we go to heaven, that's one of the first things we're going to do. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And we're going to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And y'all are going to be there, whether people like you or not. So in a day when it seems like people are less inclined to go to church, it might be good for us to think about what does actually constitute a healthy church. Wow, the thought. So in 3 John 2, and I say 3 John 2 because there isn't a chapter 1. There's only verse 1 and then verse 2. So 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. I believe God wants you healthy. And I believe that part of getting you healthy is making sure that you have a healthy soul. So you will find that I preach a lot of things. I think, I intend, that's my goal, is to preach a lot of things that will make you healthy, that will help you stay healthy, be healthy, feel healthy in your relationship with God and in your soul, because we're into the soul-saving business. We want you to have an experience with God where he's transforming you, making you fresh and new. And so I have a question for you. How healthy do you feel as a Christian? Do you feel like your Christianity is a very healthy Christianity? I hope that if you've been coming here a while, then maybe you can say, yeah. And I'd like to think that what we've been doing here has improved your Christian health. You can take your pulse later and tell me how you're doing. You're killing me, Pastor. That's not what I'm trying to do. I'm really not. And if I'm making you think, I'm sorry. But I can also ask the question. Yeah, Matt's not thinking. He says, no, you're not. Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm just going to sit back here and not think. But anyway, just joking, Matt. We can also ask, is our church healthy? It's a good question. It really is. I want you to put a picture up on the big screen for everybody to take a look at. I've used this as an illustration before. Some of you will remember it. And there are black lines through it. What's up with that? There we go. Do those young men look healthy? Yep, they do. They were in a 5K mud run in Virginia. And you could tell the mud, can't you? 5K mud run. And those are friends of my son's, actually co-workers, because they all were part of the CAF team that he was part of, the Composite Adversary Force that ran around the country, literally ran sometimes through the swamps and the bayou or the snow in Minnesota, and they attacked nuclear power plants as pretend terrorists. They got to wear special gear, and it had lasers things on it, and the other people who they were charging would have laser in their actual rifles, and thank goodness no one ever put the wrong round in, and they would shoot at these guys, and they would try to melt down the power plant. That was their goal. And it only happened once, and we won't talk about that because that was bad. They didn't actually melt it down, but they got to where they could have, and oh, the plant had just put in $10 million worth of new stuff, and oh, there were people in trouble. Boy, was there trouble in River City. So my son is the one with the hat on the end, the blue hat. Does he look healthy at all to you? Not too bad looking. He'd like to have that body back now, but he's dad now and he's got dad bod. So he's working to get that back, but he hasn't looked like that in a while. You know, women are supposed to kind of, you know, they have the babies and they're not supposed to stay looking exactly the same. And Casey looks amazing. She looks just like she did when she married him, and he doesn't. So I don't know what to tell you. He complains about it a lot. But right there in that picture, as healthy as he looks, he was about to find out that he had cancer. And I am so thankful because the cancer that he had was easily taken care of. And they talked about chemotherapy and they talked about radiation, but it was so well defined where it was, they decided he wouldn't have to do those things. And without getting indelicate here, it was in a part of his body where if things didn't go well, he wouldn't have any children. And he was even told after the fact that his chances of having children were not as good as they should be, and he now has three. And so I'm very thankful that God took care of that. But he looks healthy. Looks can be deceiving. Thank you, Matt. So what does a healthy church look like? And it probably isn't any one thing that determines whether a church is healthy or not. So let's look at a healthy church in the Bible. Acts chapter 2, and we'll start with verse 42. And if you want to join me, you can. And it says there, if you haven't caught up yet, you can. I'm just going to get after it here because I got a lot today. And they continued steadfastly in the Apostles' Creed and fellowship in the Apostles' Doctrine. Did I say creed? There's a reason for that, but I won't try to explain it. In the Apostles' Doctrine and fellowship in the breaking of bread and prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Everybody say, the Lord added to the church daily. That sometimes is something that I think we forget too. God is really the one who does the adding. And sometimes we do a lot of things to try to make things happen. And we need to make sure he's right in the middle of what we're doing, that he's adding to the church daily. So this is what the church looked like right at the beginning, right after the day of Pentecost took place. And what were the elements? We've talked about these before, of their activities that helped them to be a growing church. They had good doctrine. I think we have that. You think we have good doctrine? Yeah. And by the way, you don't have to agree with me about everything, because you've been wrong before. No, because I don't have everything figured out. I've jokingly said, though, many times, you know, I'm the only person in the room who I'm confident has all of the right doctrine and has all the right theology. And, you know, and most people in the room probably think that they are. Most of us don't have wrong doctrine or theology because we want to, right? You tend to believe what you believe because you believe it. And if I've got a blind spot, you know, come and talk to me. I'm not above. I'm expecting to get to heaven and have Jesus go, can't believe you taught that. You know, I really am. I'm expecting to get to heaven and him say, you know, that was close. Not exactly what I needed right there, but that was close. You did your best. I think every pastor I know will have his theology adjusted when he gets to heaven. I really do. It says, then we will know even as we are known. There are some things that we still don't know. And we know in part, so we prophesy in part. We're doing our best. They also had fellowship. We have that. And I've talked about it extensively, koinonia, association, community, intimacy, relationship, relationship, relationship. How many times have I talked about that? And by the way, our church has fared fairly well, I would say, in comparison to some other churches in town when it comes to post-COVID. Because I really don't know anybody who left our church because of COVID. Just saying. I know a lot of churches that can't say that. Breaking bread. In fact, it actually says breaking bread two times in the passage I read. There is a very practical part of a relationship and connection. And some people think this refers both to having communion together and also just having relational breaking bread over a table stuff. And maybe we should get better at that. There is a group of us, by the way, in case you're misunderstanding, there is a group of us that likes to go get something at a restaurant after church. And you can come along. Just come hang out with us if you want. We go almost every Sunday, but not every Sunday. Sometimes during the summer, it's been really handy because we just go through a drive-through, which some places aren't open, so you can't go in anyway. And then we run to a park or something, and we enjoy fellowship together and just chat. And we like each other. Imagine that. I know I have to love you, but I don't have to like you. I've heard that before. And that's kind of another baloney, no matter how you slice it, one of those kind of things. Fear. Wait a minute, Pastor, you've been preaching on fear. Got no phobia. Not supposed to be afraid. Well, this fear was an awareness and a recognition of God. I do believe one of the definitions of fear is the awareness of danger. And I got to tell you, God's dangerous. As he's out to kill you and make you into a completely different person. And to give you new life. Behold, old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. He wants to change you. And that's a good thing. So this is a big deal. And there are times when God is actually doing something and we don't recognize it. And we talk about that a lot. That's part of our whole Bethel heritage, the story of the word Bethel when it came first into the Bible. He was there and he didn't. Fear came upon him because he recognized God is here and I did not know it. Sometimes God's in the middle of something I'm doing during the week, or God's in the middle of something you're doing, and all of a sudden you just realize he's there. Well, he's always there, but sometimes we're not focused that way. And I've always been amazed at the number of people who can be in a service and won't feel a thing, standing right next to a person who is in a service and feels everything. Have you ever noticed that? I've been that person, by the way, too. I didn't feel a thing. And everybody else seemed to be, and I, you know, might have been something to do with me, or it might have been something to do with everybody else. They're all nuts, and I'm the only normal one. Yeah, what's normal? Yeah, that's a good question. There were signs and wonders. We've had times when I think we feel like we've seen more of these among us, and times when we've had less of them among us. I will say we have people who are kind of a little crazy. They'll pray with people out there as well as praying with people here. And we pray with people here so we can practice getting good at prayer so we can pray with people out there. Does that make sense? Some of you give prophetic words of encouragement. Some of you just give words of encouragement. It's more pathetic than prophetic, but you're trying. No, by the way, I had a couple of strikeouts this week. I had one person basically say to me, "Don't get religious on me." Because I just said, "Hey, is there anything God could bless you with tonight? Don't get religious on me." Ooh. Ow. Okay. Don't know what's going on there, but I'm not going to force anybody. I did have a wonderful, by the way, experience last night at a restaurant in Fort Wayne. John and I had gone to a meeting together, and then we went to this restaurant, and there's a young man named Michael there, and I looked up at Michael, and God highlighted these two little pins that were just kind of long sideways. I don't even know what they were. I didn't even see what they were, but they looked like bars on a uniform. And I went, "What's that, Lord?" And he says, "This guy has rank," and I forget the other word that I used, but he's got influence. Yeah, rank and influence more than he realizes on some of the people around him, and he needs to be confident in what he's doing. And I just started talking to him along that line, and he got rocked. In fact, you had left and gone back. You know, we had a long way to go, so he went to the restroom before. Smart thing to do. And while you were there, he came back and talked to me for a while, and it just really rocked him. You know, I don't always get that. Sometimes I give a prophetic word to somebody, and they look at me like, "Okay, then I won't say anything because you won't give me a tip." But that was weird. And other times they are just like rocked. You can tell. And you know, we get to do that stuff, and a lot of you are doing that stuff or learning to do that stuff. I want to continue to encourage you to do that stuff. God can speak to you, and he can speak through you. And I like to see that happen. So, you know, there were signs and wonders in the early church, things that couldn't be explained unless you had the explanation of God. We could have more of that, yes. Yeah, everybody, okay, your assignment for the week, go raise a dead person. I've not done that yet, but I really would like to have that experience, wouldn't that be? I'd like to see a blind person's eyes opened. I have seen deaf ears opened. I have seen the lame walk. I've seen the lame post things on Facebook too. But that's another story. So, it says they sold their stuff. Did you see that in that passage? Did you hear that in that passage? They sold their stuff? Yeah, a lot of people think that they, you know, they lived communally, that they just sold everything and moved into one place. That is not what happened, because later it says that they were meeting from house to house. They did sell stuff they didn't need. They did give freely. They did give abundantly to others who had needs. And people who had more than they needed, like in a couple of cases, there were people who sold houses because they already had one house and they had, you know, they got rid of their cottage by the lake and sold the boat and gave it to people who had needs. They sold their extra stuff, is the best way to put that. They met daily. There it is. There it is. I finally figured it out. Hallelujah. Come on. We're going to be here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. And you're going to be right with me. And we're going to stay right in church. Bless God. Hallelujah. And that's when some of you are going to have to sell your stuff because some of the other people are going to start starving. Right? But they did meet daily. And their culture had an opening for that already, and that's great. And they met daily in the temple, and they met daily from house to house, and they broke bread together, and they did things together, and so they were together a lot. And that common unity created community that was amazing. And so we've talked about that. I think we have above average community in this church. I really do. Somebody, if you're around here very long, someone's going to get in your stuff. They're going to care about you. They're going to think about you. They're going to wonder where you are. And I think some people honestly haven't stuck around this church for that very reason. I knew a guy in the church in Bicknell. I've told this story. As soon as I asked him to serve, he and his family were gone because they wanted to come to a church where they could have a nice Sunday morning experience and then the rest of the week go elsewhere and do other things and then come back next Sunday morning and have a nice experience. That was his thing. That was what he wanted to do. He didn't want to take part. His wife loved to sing. She was amazing, and she loved to play the piano, and she helped out in several areas, and he just wanted a place where he could come, and that was nice. I did my Sunday morning thing. Now what's next? It says they praise God. What do you think? Did they use hymn books or overheads? Organs or full bands? Wonder if they had in-ears. Boy, in-ears really help when you've got in-ear monitors. You can really hear what's going on. It keeps the band together. I know I'm being silly. The early church was healthy even without some of the things that we feel like we couldn't do without today. Isn't that interesting to think about? It was a healthy church and it didn't have some of the things that we feel like we desperately need. The results were that they had favor and growth. Now, I'll be honest, we haven't seen as much of this as I'd like, and in fact, we've probably grown this church backwards more than we have forwards in the last 7-8 years. Is that proof that we aren't healthy? Is that proof that we aren't healthy? My son looked healthy, didn't he? And he wasn't. The way we look doesn't necessarily always portray, the way we look on certain things on the outside doesn't always portray whether we're healthy or not. We have a lot of things that we think are good that they didn't have at all. We meet in a building. They didn't have buildings. Is that a good thing? I think it is. I don't think it's a bad thing that we have a building. I think in the culture in which we live and in the day that we're functioning, having a place where we can meet together is awesome. I know a church in town here who wishes they had what we have. They're desperate. They've got 3 times as many people maybe, I don't know, something like that. And they don't have a building. They meet someplace else and they have to have crews set up, tear down, and it gets weary. They'd love to have what we have. And I'm not saying they're not healthy, by the way. Don't misunderstand. They just wish they had what we've got. Yep. So what's the state of our church? Are we healthy? I think we could be healthier. Yeah. But I also don't think we have cancer. Let me tell you some healthy things that we have here. Testimonies. I know churches and I know pastors who tell me flat out they couldn't do that. And we do it. I think that's healthy. I mentioned my prophetic ministry. A lot of you do prophetic ministry, words of encouragement, things to people that you know. I think that's healthy. And you do it, by the way, outside of this building. That's really healthy. I know churches that have tons of prophetic ministry and it never leaves the building. We have people who pray. We have people who testify about praying with other people in public, that pull people into side rooms, that do different things. And some of you have seen God just enter into a situation and make a difference. That's very healthy. I know churches that's not even on the agenda ever. In fact, I know churches that would tell you it's not your job. Bring that person to the pastor because there's clergy and there's laity and you're not supposed to do that clergy stuff. Do you know those churches exist still? We have a youth group. This is not huge, but it's good, and the kids that are in it are good kids. And I'll tell you what, they listen. They really do. And I've been talking to them about some cool stuff. God's promises and prophetic ministry, and we're working on some stuff. And they listen. I love our kids. We have children's ministry. And a lot of you don't get to see it because it's way back there. But it's good. It's good. We have a nursery that needs remodeling, by the way, and we're working on that. We're getting some numbers together. We're making a list, checking it twice. We're going to find out whether you all want to help us get rid of some ugly stuff in our nursery, especially that carpet. Looks like my dog was in there throwing up. It's just nasty. But we have a good children's ministry, and I think good things are being communicated to our kids. I'm excited about that. I like it. Is it huge? No. I was in a church in Indiana where I did a promotion for children's ministry, Sunday school, one year that I was there, and we had 400 people show up. Yeah, 400 people show up, and it was a cool promotion, and in a week they were gone. But it was fun. I'm not saying we shouldn't have done it. We probably touched some lives and made some difference there. And they had several buses, which was a big deal back then. How many of you remember bus ministry? Yeah, you can't do that anymore, can you? Had to make an adjustment because people will not send their kids out on your bus when they don't know who you are. It used to be the bus came, stopped, and people go, oh, look, church bus. Jimmy, just get out of here. You'll bring him back when? Well, that's earlier than I wanted, but okay. Used to be like that. I think one of the things that we need to work on is reaching out. And we got some stuff we're going to share with you today about that. That's kind of cool. And I think we need to continue to do that. But I also think that it's really, 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 really healthy if we learn to reach out one-on-one. How many think that's a good thing? We learn to reach out and invite people and encourage people in their faith walk. Yeah. We talk about reaching the lost, but the truth of the matter is a lot of people aren't lost at all. They've just lost their connection. I bet that if we could get just the people who used to come to this church regularly, who currently no longer go to church, if we could just get half of those people who used to come to this church regularly, who go nowhere to church currently, I bet we could fill this building and be getting out chairs next week. This is a scary thing too, isn't it? Was our church not healthy enough that we made them healthy? I don't know. It bugs me. It really does. There are a lot of tumbleweed Christians out there who just tumble over here, and then they tumble over there, and then they tumble over there, and then they tumble over there. And I'm thanking God that some of you don't just tumble around all over the place, but you've been faithful to the Lord for a long, long, long time, some of you. God bless you. It makes me happy. And I think it makes you happy. And some of these people who tumble around seem to be moved by the Spirit even. And I'm not saying they're not. But I do believe they're in danger because a plant without root has its issues every time. Last week I spoke to you about using social media for outreach. I have another social media idea, by the way. Are you ready? Yeah, some of you do social media, so you could do this. Have you ever found yourself, by the way, before I tell you what the idea is, have you ever found yourself downwind from a steakhouse? Or a place that has one, you know, oh man, that smells good. Especially if you haven't eaten. And if you're hungry, drool. Sure. And maybe you didn't even know you were hungry. Have you ever had that happen? You didn't even know you were hungry and then you smelled something and all of a sudden your stomach goes, feed me. And you weren't even thinking about it until then. And suddenly your nose triggers your stomach and there's this thing going on and you got to find some food now. I'm gonna kill somebody if I can't find. I'm hangry now. I'm just angry hungry. I think people need to get a good whiff of what God's doing. I think people need to get a good whiff of what God's doing here. And, you know, we can focus on the things that God's not doing here as well as we wish he was, or we can focus on the amazing things that God is doing here that are actually pretty good, and we could communicate those to people. Yeah, it's just a thought. Now, look, I'm not, you know, the lights sometimes are on, but nobody's home. I know that happens with me, but I've seen people looking at their phones or iPads or whatever, and they're using them to get to the scriptures. But sometimes, you know, your phone goes off. It's $25 if it rings out loud. But anyway, no, just kidding. It's not. We joke about that. But your phone goes off while you're in a meeting, and somebody's like last week. I don't know whether you all know it or not, but my son was making me nuts last week because he had this ongoing joke that he was doing, and my pocket was vibrating. I'm like, don't do that during service. Yeah. So I know that sometimes people have to, you know, but you know, if I saw more phones out because you were actually like, we're going to have to figure this out. If anybody knows how to do this, I know you can set up your YouTube page so that there's live activity going on while the YouTube video is going on and people can actually say they're liking it. We used to do it with Facebook, but then we moved off of Facebook because YouTube is a more stable platform for what we're trying to do, and people can look at it on their TVs a lot easier than they can Facebook. So that's why we changed it. But I'd like to get that going, maybe even make somebody the YouTube minister, and they could just be on YouTube, and if anybody replies or says something, they can do that. And then even some of you could get on the YouTube feed while you're watching and just mute it, and you could go, amen. In fact, you could say amen during the service. Amen. Yeah, some of you are like, what? We don't do that in this church, but we should. Or you could say, glory. Or any, the long O glory. Glory. You could say, you know, you could encourage me once in a while. It wouldn't hurt my feelings. But you could also encourage others, literally, while. Have you ever seen somebody post that they were at a certain restaurant? Or that they were having a good time at a certain place or a certain park or certain this or certain that? Wonder what would happen if the people of God, not just here, although this would be a good place to start, wonder what would happen if the people of God everywhere started posting that they were in church. And maybe even started adding, man, you should get on the live feed. Our pastor's on fire today. Literally, someone threw a Molotov cocktail. No, just, you know, you could do stuff to pique the interest and cause people to go, oh, I'm all of a sudden, I'm a little hungry. You think that would be a problem? And if you're not doing that, I'll never know, because there's no way I can go check all your feeds and see whether you were really posting something worthwhile or not. I'm just saying. Well, I don't know that I can go street witnessing, Pastor Tim. Yeah, well, I've seen your post. You say all sorts of things on Facebook. Maybe you could let people know that you're faithful to the Lord's house. Just an opportunity that I'm offering you. No demands here, but just an opportunity. We do want to reach out to people. Let me just ask this question real quick because I brought it up a second ago. How many of you have somebody that you know on Facebook who is a Facebook Christian but never goes to church? I see heads nodding and hands up. Yeah. Wonder what they'd do if they saw that you were in church. Wonder if they would tune in if you posted our live stream so they could find it. Wonder if there's something that I might say or one of the other people might say that get up and share the word. What if the word of God actually goes out and does not return to him void, but accomplishes that which it was sent out for? What if that's really true, Isaiah 55:11? I'm just saying, we have these opportunities to do things we could never. You can touch literally hundreds of people, some of you thousands of people on Facebook, just bam, like that. I know I preached some of this last week, but I'm back at it because I believe in it. You could say something about how good the worship was. You could say something about how good the testimonies were. You could say something about how encouraged you were by what you heard. And somebody might catch that fragrance, and they might show up some Sunday because it was just too good to resist. Do you think there's a restaurant out there that hates it when people post that you're at their restaurant? No. Do you think there's a restaurant out there that loves it when you post that you're at their restaurant? Yes. And you may remember a few years ago, I did preach a message called Say Amen. Maybe I need to preach it again. Amen? Maybe I could be more like Blaine Bowman. Remember when Blaine came to visit us? That's a good word, Pastor Tim. That was awesome. Thank you, Brother Tim. I appreciate that. We used to get a lot of visitors in our church because we used to be right on Route 24. There's a reason that we have a tendency to have more a Western group of people at this church than an Eastern group of people based on the area that we live in. And it's because once upon a time, that was where the lion's share of people came, and the first church they saw in town was us. And it was nice. It was a little weird sometimes, too, especially when our church was called Calvary, because people thought Calvary automatically meant Baptist, and they came in, and we were anything but Baptist sometimes for some of them. It was a little scary. Okay, we were one of the first churches in towns to have the words on the wall, and people call us the off-the-wall church. We did our singing. So now our location may make our traffic a little bit less as far as visitors, and we may have to do some things. I do believe a healthy church should experience growth. But growth can be sometimes about more than just the number of people. Let me say that again. I believe in growth, but growth doesn't always reflect in the number of people. I want people to be growing individually as well. And I hope some of you are. I think most of you are. But I think this is an interesting verse. Let me read you one verse from John, chapter 6, verse 66. Some of you are already going, 666. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They went to Facebook. They deleted Jesus' account. They didn't follow him anymore. This is in a story where Jesus is actually with a great crowd of people, and he starts talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And he doesn't even take time to explain it in a way that people can get. So they literally, a lot of them were like, oh, so now we got this cannibalism thing going on with the master, and we're not sure what he's saying. That's really scary. And they were freaking out. And then in verse 67, it says that Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So even though they couldn't even understand what it was he was trying to get at, they knew something beyond what they knew up here. But that's another subject for another day. The most important thing I want you to see from this is that at that moment, Jesus' church was growing. Jesus was growing his church. He was growing his church inside of 12 people. While outside, it looked really bad. Like, man, we're not going to sell any of those DVDs today. That's really going to hurt. Now the merch tables are completely empty and nobody's over there. I don't know how he's going to sell his book if he's going to talk like that. No, Jesus was growing his church. It just looked like it was doing the opposite, didn't it? So sometimes we look at certain things and we think, this is the sign, this is the sign, this is the sign. Well, let's look at everything and try to figure out how we can take everything that God's doing and add to that actual human beings would be good as well. I'd like to fill these pews, wouldn't you? I got more of these. I would love to be forced. Force me up here. Make me preach from here. Because we have to put so many in the front that there's just not room for me to stand down here. Be awesome. Oh, you can do it too, by the way. You're already equipped enough, most of you, that you could do it easily. You just got to have a hankering for it. Maybe you need to get a little hangry at the devil. We have a great church. I really like our church. And I feel like it's a healthy church in a lot of ways. And that, yes, it could get stronger. And I believe we should endeavor to do so. But when I look around, I am confident that the future can be and should be good. And so I want to encourage all of you. Just let God minister to you. If we can get really healthy, there's more than 12 here. And the 12 that got really healthy that day that I just spoke of, they changed the world. Well, except for one. I want to pray over you. Father, bless your people. Give us a whiff of what you could do if we just would let ourselves, Lord, be given over to more and more of what you want to do in us. There isn't a single person here, Lord, that you haven't destined to do great things. I pray that their destiny will be being made manifest in them every day as they go out in your name. Amen.